shining love, a love that lasts past the Saturday night. I wanna know that it's more than love at first sight. Cause I want a Sunday kind of love. Somebody help me sing it. I want a love that's on this way. Can't seem to find somebody, someone to care. And I'm on a lonely road that leads to nowhere. I need a Sunday kind of love. Sunday dreaming, and all my Sunday scheming, every minute, every hour, every day. Oh, I'm hoping to discover a certain kind of lover who will show. Someone to enfold, keep me warm when Monday and Tuesdays grow cold. A love for all my life to have and to hold. I want a Sunday kind of love.
Someone someone to enfold. Keep me warm when Monday and Tuesdays grow cold. A love for all my life to have and to hold. I want a Sunday kind of love.
Everybody enjoyed the song. I did. I changed it up a little bit today. I got some more songs I want to introduce as we move forward into 2022. Shalom, shalom to everyone. Welcome to the Yehuda Project, first day of the week, Sunday as it is. I hope everybody has enjoyed their weekend. I know we enjoyed the Sabbath yesterday. Everything went well. In my opinion, I enjoyed it. I don't know about anyone else, but I had a good time. I received some emails today from Sister Sanaya and several other people, and I wanted to kind of get into those things. It looked like it is getting ready to jump off into Ukraine. So to the point where the U.S. is evacuating the embassy. They're leaving. They're telling all Americans to get out.
Is it Ukraine?
I'm going to play the clip for you in a minute. I want you to hear it. I mean, this is the prophecies that we're watching. Some serious stuff is jumping off, and it's amazing, boy. I just need somebody to push one and let me know you can hear me. I'm not going to call on you if you don't want me to, but somebody push one to confirm you can hear me. Anybody? Somebody. I hope you. Okay, thank you, 614. I appreciate you. Shalom, shalom. All right, well, let me get into the clip. I want you to hear this in its entirety. Here we go.
And warnings of a possible Russian invasion. U.S. officials are now preparing to approve the evacuation of some American diplomats and their families from the embassy in Ukraine. This as the U.S. is rushing more military aid to the country, the first shipment of a new $200 million package arriving, including ammunition. And Britain tonight revealing explosive intelligence about an alleged Russian plot. Here's ABC's White House correspondent, Mary Alice Parks.
Tonight, sources from the administration confirming the U.S. State Department is preparing to approve the evacuation of some American diplomats and their families from the embassy in Ukraine as the security situation deteriorates and becomes increasingly unpredictable. Unlike in Afghanistan, embassy staff and families would most likely be flown out on commercial flights. Other Americans have already been advised not to travel to Ukraine, and those in the country will be warned this week to depart. Overnight, the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine releasing these photos showing more than 90 tons of U.S. military aid arriving, including ammunition. The first shipment, a part of $200 million in assistance President Biden approved last month to help Ukraine's military. Our Patrick Riesel on the ground in Ukraine's capital.
The U.S. is now rushing more military assistance to Ukraine, something that it used to be extremely cautious about doing. Besides its own deliveries, it's even allowing Lithuania to send American-made Stinger missiles here. This is exactly the type of assistance that the Kremlin is calling a red line.
Tonight, the British government going public with this startling accusation, claiming they have intelligence the Russian government is, quote, looking to install a pro-Russian leader in Kiev as it considers whether to invade and occupy Ukraine. While they did not provide details, the British listed several names of former Ukrainian officials they claim are linked to Russian intelligence officers. The White House saying this kind of plotting is deeply concerning. After meetings in Geneva this week, both U.S. and Russian diplomats agreed to keep talking, which could be a good sign the temperature has lowered a bit. But this week, Russia also made a point of showing the world it was sending more troops to areas north of Ukraine, too, putting out this video of jets taking off for neighboring Belarus and soldiers training to Ukraine's east.
The Ukrainian people are determined. They are ready to fight. It's only gotten worse with all three borders, now with the Russians going into Belarus, so it's now also on their northern border.
Mary Alice Parks back with us from the White House tonight. Mary Alice, how is President Biden monitoring developments in the region this weekend?
With the president is not here. He's up at Camp David. The White House says he's meeting with members of his national security team, some with him in person there, others joining virtually. And the State Department said that Secretary Blinken this weekend is also continuing conversations with allies about the situation.
All right, Mary Alice, with those major developments, thank you.
All right, there you have it. So that is what they sent me today. Very interesting. It seems like it's ratcheted up a little bit. You know, excuse me. So all the things that are going on, because it's supposed to be, the according to the prophecy, the rebuilding of the Soviet Union. And it is interesting to watch. I tell you, it really is. All righty, so I just wanted to make sure I put that on there, because we were talking about that on Saturday, on the Sabbath day, and just wanted to know how you guys feel in the day, and, you know, checking out the mood and everything about the class yesterday and how it went. Did it help you? Did it get you to understand? You know, because we are dealing with so many people who are rushing, trying to rush this thing, and you can't rush it under no circumstances. So, you know, as we move forward and we listen to the things and we watch the prophecies, we sit still, we watch, we let Yah do what he does. And we just move, you know, we move when he moves. You know, one thing about it, we can't move it until he moves it. You know, and I know a lot of people getting restless and, you know, we ready to go. And some people doing it out of fear. And guess what? He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's what we have to keep ourselves doing, is staying focused. So how did you feel about yesterday? You know, was it a little overly complicated? Did it make sense? Didn't it make sense? You know, whatever you want to talk about today. You know, I don't mind talking. I can talk forever, but I get tired of talking. So the floor is open. Anybody want to push one, please feel free to do that. You know, so we can have a conversation. I like to talk to people. All right, area code 504. Area code 504, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I enjoyed the class yesterday, especially the part where you explained about us still being in the Old Testament and somewhat in the New Testament, too. So that was kind of new to me. You know, I knew about the 400 years and all, but you did, you know, really explain, you know, how it's fluctuating from the old to the new, and it made a lot of sense to me.
Well, I'm glad it did. It didn't confuse you in any way, huh?
No, it didn't. No. No.
Okay, yeah, because a lot of people don't realize that we're moving. Well, the world believes that Israel is already in the land. So that's why they feel like the Old Testament has been fulfilled. You know, that Israel is back in the land and everything is moving ahead. However, if we were scattered, like the scripture says, to the four corners of the earth, then when was the deliverance? Because nobody has seen it. All we've seen is a political move from the Balfour Declaration to give the so-called Israeli people access to the land, and that was something that was done politically and diplomatically. But Yah said he was going to gather us from the four corners of the earth, and nobody has mimicked that yet. And I don't believe he's going to allow that to happen. So, you know, I'm glad that it was able to help you to understand. Did it calm you down a little bit in terms of the different moving parts and how they're all moving in different directions, but at the same, not at the same pace, but pretty much the same pace, you know, but that it's so much going on at the same time that you just can't focus on Israel to be able to say, okay, it's time to go. It's so many other entities that are moving in certain directions that this is something that only Yah could have done. You agree?
Yes, I agree. And also, I always wondered when they were moving into the little land of Israel or whatever. And I was saying, how could they move themselves when the Most High said he would be the one to gather them? I always questioned that, but it's all clear now, you know, cleared up.
So how did you feel about the church? And the church, when we talked about how the church feels like they're getting ready to rapture away and that they're going to spend 7 years in heaven, or some people believe post-rapture, some people believe pre-rapture, and what that means is either they're going to leave before the tribulation period or they're going to leave in the middle of the tribulation period, but that the church feels like they're going to heaven, and while they're in heaven, everybody else down here is going to suffer, and they're going to come back with Christ on horses to fight against us. You know, and that is the dilemma that most of our people are in, and the thing that they have been taught, you know, since they've been in the entity called the church, and heaven is their, is where they're going. And what amazed me yesterday was that one of the sisters that was on there had never heard about the rapture. I thought everybody knew about the rapture, but no. One of the sisters on there had never heard about the rapture. She didn't know anything about rapture. And explaining that to her was interesting because her, whatever denomination she was in, they had never taught that. So, you know, knowing what you know as an Israelite and knowing what you know about prophecy, did that open up your eyes in a way to let you see more of the deception?
I was kind of a wall because I had came out to church years ago, but
okay.
I didn't have all the pieces to the puzzle. You know, I was taught about the rapture, and I believed in it when I was in the church. I, you know, said, yes, we're getting ready to get raptured and all. But as I came into the truth of being, you know, the Israelite, and I started, you know, studying, you know, under you and some other people that I listened to on the YouTube and all, and everything started coming together, and my eyes were open, you know, that we're not going to be raptured at this time, like they taught us in the church, you know, that the second Exodus is going to take place way before that. So, yeah, but if I was still in the church, I would have probably, you know, been believing in that I was going to get ready to be raptured, because every year, people were talking about, oh, this is the year we're getting raptured, something happens, this is the year, you know, and they kept moving on and on and on. But when I came out and I stopped, you know, I tried to follow the dietary, you know, laws and the different laws and all, and stopped celebrating the holidays,
mm-hmm.
everything became kind of clear to me as to, you know, if we've fallen, you know, the ways and all, that he would open your eyes a little more to see a little more. So, you know, I, like I said, I learned quite a bit, you know, from you and others that I listened to also.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your comment. I appreciate it. And I'll mute your mic back. Anybody else, please feel free to push one. You know, this is what this is all about. And a lot of people be like, well, how can you guys keep the law, statutes, and the commandments when it doesn't bring salvation? And salvation does come through Christ. It comes through the Messiah. We have no issue with that. However, as a people, we were given the laws to govern ourselves. Just like it's no different than the penal laws and the laws that we have in the different states that we live in, and the federal laws and all the laws that are passed. The Most High gave his people a law. He gave us laws, statutes, and commandments, what to wear, what to eat, what high holy days to keep, the moral laws, well, you know, how we conduct ourselves within a marriage, how we conduct ourselves as single people, how we conduct ourselves sexually. All of that information was given to us so that we would be separate and apart from everyone else. You know, we still know that the Holy Spirit comes from the Most High. We still believe in the baptism and all the stuff that comes with that. That doesn't change anything. However, as his people and his chosen people, we have to live according to that law, just like we have to live according to these laws in the different states where we live in. It's not, it hasn't changed. He just gives us a law to conduct ourselves in a different manner. So I think that, you know, that's the biggest issue, that, you know, when you start talking about the clock and the moving of time and the moving and the reference points for the different groups that are moving, you have to be able to put all the pieces together. And that's what I attempted to do yesterday, to be able to show you that there's many, I see you, area code 928, that there's many different moving parts. And you have to know that Yah is he's the one who orchestrated all of this. He has this going in the direction that he's going on purpose. And everybody has their prospective roles. And right now, when you look at Israel, the ancient, they call us now the ancient Israelites. We are the ancient, the present, and the past Israelites. There are no other ones other than us. So now they're trying to correct themselves by saying the ancient Israelites. No, we the present Israelites. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our forefathers. So there's no other Israelites other than the ones who are still scattered. And, you know, as we understand what our part is to do, and that is to gather ourselves. To gather ourselves, to line ourselves up to the best of our ability, and to live in this land to the best of our ability, according to his law, statutes, and his commandments. I mean, that's all we can do at this point. Now, hold on, let me open up the mic. Area code 928, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to say that United States, we better be careful. This country better be careful messing with China and messing with Russia. They really need to be careful, because those people will annihilate this land, these people. I don't know what possessed them to think that they could. I had just read an article about China using robotic soldiers because they feel like they're going to use those robotics, the drones first, and then later on, after the war, if the war keeps on, then they'll put their real people in there. We can't compete against that stuff. You know, that's heinous. You know, they're going to put machines against real people, and by the time they have more people than us anyway, but for them to start off with robotics and then go into their billions of people, billions of people that they have over there. I just thought that these people have to be crazy to mess with the likes of China and Russia. We should just leave well enough alone. But I think there's something more, the undercurrent going on. I think there's something spiritual going on that these people just can't stop themselves. They can't stop themselves from killing us, from beating us, from hanging us, from doing wrong to different people. They don't have to answer to anybody. And I think there's something up underneath them forcing them beyond their comprehension of picking at other people. And I think it's going to lead to this country's demise, because there's something underneath there that they can't really help it. They it's beyond their control. Another thing I want to bring to your attention is, I'm so glad you said about the clock, like there's a clock going, because in my mind, what you gave me yesterday, and I appreciate it, is, you know, the expensive Rolex watches, you look at the hand, the hands, they got sections. The year is moving steadily. You can't see it, but it's steadily moving. The month is moving. The minute, the hour, but they have different sections. But it's one clock. It's one world. But each of the people, the different groups are on the each of the different groups are standing on a big part of that clock. That's what made it clear for me when you said that clock, and I thought about that Rolex watch, and I was like, different groups, like the Israelites are on one portion of the clock. The Japheth children are on another portion of that clock, which is the people in Israel. And the church is on a different portion of that clock.
That's right.
The sons of God is in a different portion. So that really made it so much clearer for me, and I was at peace and at rest. When I left the group yesterday, I felt a good understanding.
Well, I am so happy, because that is the goal, is to get everyone to understand that one of the main things is that nobody's moving until Yah decides to move the clock, till he moves the hands on the clock. And he's very meticulously organized, and everything has a time, and everything has a season, and everything has a purpose, everything. There's nothing haphazard that happens. Nothing happens by happenstance. Nothing is by chance. Everything happens for a reason. And when we understand that, we can sit back and let Yah be Yah. It's so many, I know everybody is ready for this thing to move forward. I know. And I've listened, and, there's just no magic bullet that's going to make this happen. There's nobody that's going to say a magic word. I know the scripture says that when we all come together and we cry out with our one voice and our children's children cry out and we repent before him and ask that, then he will deliver. But guess what? A new flash for that too. There's a time and a place for that. There's a time and a place for it all. And when it's time, we will do it. And when we do it, we will see the reaction, but it's not yet. It's just not yet. So we have to know, that everything with him is on the time scale, and you can't move it until he moves it. Now, he still blesses us, and he still does things for us, but you can't rush Yah. Yah has to do, he's going to do it the way he does it, and nobody's going to change that. Nobody will. So I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that. And if you guys missed Saturday on the Sabbath, you missed a really good class, because it was a revelation that he revealed, and it made sense. It fit. So I just wanted to say that. I want to play for you real quick this clip. Hold on one moment. And it explains what the rapture is. And I just want you, because I was surprised yesterday when the lady asked me, and she did not know what it was. And I was like, wow, I thought everybody knew what the rapture was. I really did. I thought everybody knew what it was, and what happens, in the rapture, and who's going to make it. And this is what makes it difficult for our people that are still in the Christian church to get away from. It's difficult, because this is something that has been driven home, and it's mainly based from the New Testament. Now, they do go back into the book of Daniel, and they do deal with Daniel, Daniel and Revelation. They do those things, but however, we have to understand that this is something that's a part of the deception. It just is. It's a part of the deception. So, because the reason why it's a part of the deception is because the Old Testament is not fulfilled. It's not fulfilled yet. And I know it's some people hanging up because they're like, oh, no, I ain't going to really deal with that. I mean, it is. It really is. It's going to be very difficult for a lot of people to deal with. It's going to be very difficult for a lot of people to handle, But it's so many things, that we have to address, because because heaven is their home. They're on their way to heaven, And it's written in the fabric. taken the DNA of Christianity. It's written there. And you're not going to, you know, when you try to wipe that away, people are like, oh, no, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to see my grandmama and my mama and them and everybody. I don't know what you're talking about. And this is where the disconnect comes in at. You know? And it's really difficult. Because people don't want to hear you. They like, oh, no, honey, I know where I'm on my way to. I'm going to heaven. I don't know what you're talking about. But he said, and my mom even says that sometimes, honey, I cannot. She knows the stuff. She knows all of the teaching. She knows that we're Israelites. But because it's been so woven into the fabric of who she is, they can't give that up. You know, they can't give that up. So I want to play a couple of clips for you so you can hear this, because it's all in the black church too. Give me one second. All right, here we go. Listen to this. This is our church. Here we go.
633, when we all get to heaven. 633, opening hymn, please just stand and when we all get to heaven. 633 in your heaven. Oh, yeah.
In heaven, and heaven is where people want to go, and you can't blame them. You can't blame them. It would be a wonderful thing if we could skip past everything else and just be in the pearly gates and walk through, and the mansions is already set. That would be wonderful. However, that is not how the story is written. It wrote that way. It ain't how it's written. And the problem comes in is. Because that just ain't how it's written. Right. So this is why, let me put the rapture on so we can have him explain what the rapture is. Hold on real quick. Not, it ain't going to be long. Here we go.
There come a day, and it's not going to be too far away, whenever the world will be ruled by the word of God, by men of God, and this place is going to be heaven on earth from time immemorial.
Break it down, because some people might be hearing that for the first time, okay? The second coming and the rapture are two different things.
Yes.
Explain, please, sir.
The rapture of the church is when Jesus comes for his church. The second coming is when Jesus comes with his church. The rapture of the church happens when he appears in the clouds of heaven. He does not come to earth. We go up to meet him. The dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive remain shall be instantly caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and we go to heaven. The first thing that happens is the judgment seat of Christ. Paul said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds that have been done in our body, whether they are good or whether they are bad. Our works are going to be tried by fire, so that our lives in its essence will be given purity as we enter our eternal life. Every person is going to stand here. People say, well, you're already in heaven. It's not a matter of if you're going to be in heaven or not. It's a matter that you are going to give an account to God for what you have done and what you failed to do. The gap that exists between what you could have been and not were not because you did not use the opportunities God blessed you. You are still going to be in heaven, but you are going to receive a reward in heaven based on what you did on this earth, where there are going to be five different crowns that you can receive. You'll receive a white robe, and we are going to receive the mansions. We are going to be there for a period of 7 years, and there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. While we're in heaven 7 years, there will appear on this earth the Antichrist, and he's going to set up a government of 10 men who will lead groups of nations that will be complete dictators on the face of the earth. Every commercial exchange will be recorded. You cannot do anything without his permission. He will start out making a treaty with the state of Israel. That's for 7 years. He will break that treaty in 3.5 years. In this 7 year period, there will be seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. 21 supernatural acts of judgment that are coming on this earth. Just one of those acts will be whenever angels are released to destroy a third of the earth's population in a day. What's going to happen on this earth will be hell on earth.
Wow.
And we, the bride of Christ, are going to be in heaven. People teaching that we are going to go through that just simply or biblically misinformed. We are members of the bride of Christ. Jesus is the blessed hope. And there's nothing hopeful about living through 7 years of hell to prove that you love Jesus. The Lord is going to take us to heaven. We're going to miss this chaos, and that's going to happen on the earth. And then Jesus Christ is going to return at the end of 7 years. Those 7 years will be 7 times 360, because that's a prophetic year. If you can tell me the day the Antichrist will sign that treaty, I can tell you to the day that Jesus Christ will come back. We are going to come back. All of the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, all the angels of God, and we are going to, there will be a destruction at the Battle of Armageddon of those.
All right, hold on. We got a commercial here. I want you to hear this. No, you need to hear this one. We need to hear this. Hold on. We're almost there. We had a little commercial break. Stop. Here we go.
Who have come against the city of Jerusalem. Then there will be a 75-day gap. Now, I know every preacher listening to this is sliding to the edge of his couch saying, where in the name of God is he getting this? This is in the book of Daniel, and it takes me several pages to mathematically and scripturally validate it, but I assure you it's as true as John 3:16. There'll be a 75-day gap wherever, when Jesus comes back, there will be the judgment of the nations. That's Matthew 25. There's some call it the sheep and goat judgment. But the essence of that judgment is, how did you treat the Jewish people? How did you treat the nation of Israel? Jesus said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't bring water to me. When I was in prison, you didn't come see me. He's describing many things that happened in the Holocaust. And they said, when did we see you that? And he said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. My brethren were the Jewish people. Certainly we're not Gentiles. At this point in time, before the cross, we were nothing. Paul said we were outside the covenants of Israel, without God, without hope, of all men most miserable. Until the cross of Jesus Christ, we were not adopted. We were pagans outside the sovereignty of God. I have heard theologians say Abraham was a Christian before his time, and you just want to pull his hair out. It's just absolutely not true. And whenever that judgment is over, I believe that there will be a period of time where your divine assignment is going to be given. God said, if you suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. And this is the only place in the prophetic flow where this fits, because God is going to place righteous leadership over every nation, over every state, over every city. Whenever the eternal kingdom is established, every place on this planet is going to be sovereignly led by Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and righteous people. And then he's going to set up his kingdom. The New Jerusalem from God is going to settle down over the city of Jerusalem. And it's going to be 1,500 miles square. Many people say, well, how can if Jerusalem is the capital of the earth, and they feature what it's going to be today? No, it's going to be 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high. I know that's a mind stretcher, but take it up with the prophets. They're the one that said that. And then Jesus is going to rule the earth. It is a theological dynasty. And I know that the people who are not Christians and the people who are liberal left, just the hair on the back of their head stands up when you say that. But there's going to come a day, and it's not going to be too far away, whenever the world will be ruled by the Word of God, by men of God, and this place is going to be heaven on earth from time immemorial.
There you have it. I couldn't have said it better. I couldn't have said, I know y'all got something to say about that. I couldn't have said, anybody want to push one? Because this is why your family members will not leave the church. This is what it is right here. This is the blessed hope that they've been taught. And you, how he said, Israel has to treat it correctly. Israel is the one that you're going to have to be judged by the way you treated the Israelis. He said, and that meant the Holocaust. Anybody have, well, please feel free to push one. This is the time Israel needs to be talking. I know that's right. Area code 470, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. As I was listening, and he said, this is as true as John 3:16. I said, it's a big lie the way you understand it. So everything you're saying is a lie. And then as he started talking about the treatment of the children of Israel, I'll say to myself, the Most High must have shaken his head, because I recall a time when I was in the church, and the moment you say, we be a blessed unto Israel, how we would dig in our bags and pull out money. And I'm like, we were sitting here giving our money to a people who were impersonating us. I said, where were they really hungry? You know?
Right.
I mean, apart right. from their few years of Holocaust, I was like, when were they those people in any significant way like we were? And yet we were getting going in our bags, giving them money. I said, boy, the buy trap was just amazing, such a delusion and such confusion. And I said, this man, he said, no man, there was scripture tells us that no man knows the day or the hour for the return of Christ. But when he was going through, he said, if I knew the day that the Antichrist would sign his agreement, then he could tell you to the day when the Mashiach would be here. I said, you know what, I'm going to give him that because he doesn't know the day. So that would still line up with the scriptures. But I said, boy, they try it, everything in their power, that he's going to tell everybody, just believe what he's saying, just trust him. The deception is unbelievable, and they're still operating in the same way. Just believe because I said so.
Absolutely. This is why. This is why nobody wants to. This is it, y'all. This is what it is. This is why nobody wants to leave. This is the promise that they have been preaching. This is it. This is what it is. Area code 504, your mic is open. You on there?
Yes. So about the Holocaust, those are the, I believe it's pronounced Ashkenazi Jews or something like that. And those are... Those are stolen people, stolen land, and the Holocaust didn't even last a full decade compared to 400 years. The true Hebrew Israelites. So that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Anybody else? The board ought to be lighting up. I mean, seriously. This is what the belief is. That's John Hagee. That is a Christian scholar. Go ahead, sis.
They must really hate us because they refuse to even acknowledge that we're standing right in front of them. They act like we're invisible. I know they see it because most of them are doing most of them are doing terrible, heinous things, but they just refuse to see. They just refuse to see what they're doing. They refuse.
Yeah. This is the church. This is the church, honey. This is the Gentile church. This is what they believe. This is what they believe. This is why it's so difficult. This is why it's really hard to penetrate anything other than this. They will not deviate from it. They won't. Because this is what has been infiltrated into them year after year after year after year, from grandmama to you to mama's mama. It's just been done that. This is what they're doing. So then when you come along and you say, well, wait a minute, that can't be happening now. That's why I told y'all yesterday in the class, you know, when you start reading this Bible and you understand this Bible, you understand that even though the Old Testament was completed and finished, we haven't even finished the New Testament was completed and finished. We're still in the Old Testament because we still got to go back with the deliverance. The second Exodus still has to happen. Now, it is going to happen while these people are still saying that they're the people. It's going to happen in the midst of all of this. But it still has to happen. He made a promise. I promise I'm not going to leave you in those lands. I'm going to deliver you. I'm coming to get my people. This was a promise. All through the four corners of the earth. And it hasn't happened yet. But according to them, the Jewish people are already in the land. The Holocaust was the damage that was done. And you know, then you're going to be judged for the way you treated them, not us. But the way you treated them is when you're going to get judged. And you don't know how many black people were sitting in the audience listening to him. That's why I said, as we move this story forward, you got the church trying to move forward toward the rapture. You got the Israelites moving back into the land. You got the Israelis trying to move forward with their agenda. This machine is moving in all kind of directions, and Yah is the orchestrator of it all. It's a machine. And the only reason why we're not being deceived anymore is because he opened up our eyes. Everybody else is in a state of deception. It's incredible. It's an incredible. Only y'all could have came up with something like this here. You better not tell these people they ain't going to heaven with their mom and them. You better not. Do you know that what that would do to the whole religious movement? It would shut it down. Because that's the cream on top of the that's the cream and the cherry on top of the ice cream. We going to heaven. This thing is almost over. We ain't got to worry no more. All things going to be well. My mama, your mama, your mama's 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 mama had the same sermon being preached. So you can't, you know, when it's all of it is coming to the earth. Everything is coming here. But you better not tell them that. They won't speak to you no more. They won't speak to you no more. They won't. So, I mean, you know, anybody else have a comment, please feel free to push one. Comment, concern, issue, anything, please feel free to push one. No, because this is what it is. This is where we are today. And you can't penetrate it because y'all have to be the one to open up their eyes. And he's not going to open up everybody's eyes. By the time the rest of them get well, they're going to come to the conclusion that our fathers have inherited lives. They definitely going to come to that conclusion. Like the scripture says, they're going to. However, it's going to get rough. I mean, it is. It's going to be rough. And no matter what you do and no matter what you say, you cannot penetrate this thing. This thing is running deep. It is. It's running deep. I mean, you got to think about it. This is billions of dollars a year, every year, rolling into these churches. It is. It's some serious stuff. So, you know, when you understand the whole heaven thing and we're going to be all right in the by and by, you know, there had to be something that was given to the slaves, you know. And this is what it is. Anybody have a comment? Please feel, I'm surprised y'all are real quiet today. I'm really shocked that they're going up. I'm shocked. Everybody kind of in the, you know, I don't know if you're scared to say something or what, but it is what it is. I mean, you know, it is. We ain't no way around it. It is what it is. And they get dressed up and go to church and sing, get sung to and all that kind of stuff so that is the ultimate what they're talking about. And as Israelites, we sit back and we be like, well, wait a minute. What happened to the fact that he's our God? What happened to the fact that he won't do anything? He's not going to step over Israel to say nobody nowhere. So you mean tell me that all these people that have hatred in their heart and they have done the things that they've done in the name of Christianity, that Yahweh or Yahshua, is going to come and get Jesus, is going to come and get them and take them to heaven so they don't have to go through the tribulation period. That's what they, I told y'all yesterday, that's what they believe. That's what we were taught. It's kind of rude, ain't it? It's a rude awakening. I mean, it is. Now it should be clear And this is why it's so difficult to penetrate them. This is why. You know? This is why some people feel like, oh, these are really good people and they do the best they can and they live a righteous life and they're doing, that's why they're doing it, because they're going to heaven. They think they're going to heaven. and they don't get into any problems, and I know their families, and I know this and that. That's why they're doing it, because they want to go to heaven. Serious stuff. And that the bride is going to come and get, the bridegroom is going to come and get the bride, and then they're going to have 7 years where they're going to get their crowns. Like you said, they're going to get crowns, they're going to get robes, they're going to be given out levels depending on how well they live down here, the things they did in the flesh, all that stuff. That's when they're going to get that. And then, after the 7 years is over, they all going to come back and fight against the nations. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a Gentile teaching. It's a Gentile teaching. This is why it's so difficult. It's just hard. It really is, you know. And it fuels everything that they do. Everything they do. Everything they believe. And this is what we have been given. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. You know, so that's why as a nation, we have to sit back and we have to let Yah be Yah and let him do what he has to do, not rushing, not being anxious, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, give thanks unto the Most High. You just got to slow it down and just relax and just watch the story play out, because it's going to play. It's written. His word ain't going to come back void. It won't do it. It's not going to come back void. It's going to accomplish what it set out to do. It is. You know, and the more complex it gets, I see you, area code 214, the more complex it gets, the more you can't do nothing but just watch and see. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I just have a question. I wasn't raised with the rapture, so this is, some of this stuff is new to me as well. I don't know, I would like for you to explain the five levels of heaven. I've never heard that before.
You know what, to be honest with you, me neither. I mean, I can't explain it to you, because I know, and now that I know what I know, we ain't going nowhere. But, you know, I guess everybody's going to be judged according to merit or something. There must be some sort of measuring protocols or something, depending on who prayed the most or who gave the most alms. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. It honestly does not make sense. It doesn't make sense, because the Most High is holy. So what you're telling me is that everybody is going to get in. That's basically what I heard. Everybody's getting in, and then there's going to be some kind of ranking from in these different five levels. He didn't explain how that's going to be. I've never read in the Bible where that's going to be. It was just like, what is all this stuff? And how is it that you serve a holy Elohim? He said that he chose us out of all of the nations so that we would be an example of how to live. And yet you're telling me that you can do anything, be anything, and you'll be in heaven. And to me, this is kind of analogous to having like a little good luck charm. You rub it, Jesus, 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 I'm in. Now all I have to do is, if I don't want to live right, if I want to just be really a terrible person, I guess I can be a number one, but I'll be in heaven. If I want to step it up a bit, it's all like, it's all in terms of what I decide. If I want to be number five, I guess he can tell you how to be in that fifth level, and I'm assuming the higher you go, the better it is. It just makes no sense, just in terms of who the Most High is. Why in the world, if Satan was kicked out for rebelling, why in the world would he allow all this riffraff in? Because it seems like there's no standard. All you have to do is just say this magical name and you're in. I'm just assuming, based on what I was listening to, and as I said, this is not a teaching I'm familiar with,
but it just made no sense to me.
I don't know about the five levels per se, the, what he was describing. I didn't necessarily get that he was saying you could live any old kind of way. So I'm just going to say this. I do know in the scriptures that he tells us there are different crowds. And so there's there'll definitely be some variation. And we also know just as in the kingdom, you have people who do a certain different things. So I expect that that would be what we see in the kingdom, but I don't know about the five levels of heaven or whatever he was saying.
Right, and I understand crowns. I've heard of crowns, but you know what? You earn your crowns based on on how obedient you are. It's not like you're just automatically in. It's like it's really reflective of how obedient you've been to what your calling has been. And then we lay down our crowns. So that's the reason he said, when you see me in – this is to me crowns and rewards. You earn your crowns and rewards by how well you obey. When did you visit me in prison? What did you do for the sick and afflicted? When you had a chance to support your brother, did you? All of the things that it's basically when you know to do good, you do it. Crowns and rewards. Everything. If he counts the hairs on our head, he's taking note of everything that we do. And those things will be acknowledged because he says he sees even the sparrow that falls, so he knows all. But this other stuff.
That's what they believe.
Yeah,
and I think it's 2 Timothy. Hold on, let me read it. No, it's James 1 and 12. It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Most High has promised to them that love him. So,
yeah, that's just one of the crowns. There are a few crowns in the scriptures. So that's the only thing I know about. I don't know what he was talking about as far as the levels. All I know, the differentiation will be, of course, because just there's 12 tribes. There's different positions. We know 144,000 rulers. The Mashiach Kingdom, we know their crowds, but that's all I know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, all of this, these things that have been taught has been ingrained in the people, especially the black church. It's been ingrained. I mean, really. It's like, you know how you take a crusher and you just crush down on grinding it down. It's been grounded into them to the point where this is what they believe. And they have scriptures. They can put scriptures together to promote it. They have scriptures that they use. And it works. People are like, okay, that makes sense. That works. But because we know the Most High like we do, we know better. We know better. But like I said, everything, and you have to remember this, and I just want you guys to hear this. Remember this. When you look at the world and you see the world as it is, you have to remember one thing, that everybody is basing prophecy off of the fact that the people that are in the land are the Israelites, and that time is moving forward because the Israelites have already fulfilled the prophecy of the Old Testament. They're already in the land. The Most High has already blessed them. They already set up the nation. They're already there where they're supposed to be. That is why everything else has a tendency to start moving forward. However, like we said yesterday, the ancient Israelites, the present Israelites, are still in captivity, scattered all over the world, and the Most High has made a promise that he's going to move us back to the land. So while everybody else is presumably moving forward, we're moving back. And that's why I was telling you, when you look at the momentum of things, they're moving forward, they're moving back, they're moving forward, they're moving back. And as we do those things, each group of people has their own agenda as to why they're moving in the direction that they're moving. And everything is contingent upon Israel. So, you know, this is why it is the way that it is. This is what it is. That's why. Say again?
That's why people's prophecies aren't working.
That's true.
I mean, I listen to people, they change dates. There's one person, I'm not going to call their station. They were setting a date for the rapture every week. And I was just saying, wow. So this, I listened to him this week, and he just kind of said, well, the Lord has taken me in a different direction, I think, is what he said. I'm thinking, yeah, I understand why. But you know what? It's just, we are the key to prophecy. That is the thing. But as long as we can, as a people, not understand who we are and not call out for forgiveness and for Most High to come and get us, then we are stymied to a certain extent too. But I wanted to say something about the people in the church that I thought was very interesting. You said that there are a lot of people that sit in his congregation, and the sister was talking about how she had given to the people that are over there in that land. And I think one reason is because when we go back to this image, it's a problematic image. Because even though we don't acknowledge it, if that image, the image that we see, when we see the people that are in the land, we think that those are the right people because they're in the image of God, at least the image that has been presented. And the reason why people are willing to sit in that and can sit in the congregation is because subliminally, you don't even have to think about it in a conscious way. Consciously, you can say, no, 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 we're all equal in the sight of God. We're all God's children. He doesn't care. Color doesn't matter. But subconsciously, because you've been taught, as the brother said yesterday, angel food is good and cake is good and devil food, cake is bad, and you're sitting there and you have this image that's considered in this society be the opposite of what you are, then you're saying, yes, those are the people, and I, by definition, I should be supporting them, and that can't be me. And I can't even accept that's the Messiah, because after all, the Messiah, he's the reflection of the people that are there. They're there fulfilling prophecy. It can't be us. They are the ones, because they are the chosen people. He is their people. They're made in his image, and we are just an imperfect copy. In fact, we would be on that bottom level if we're talking about angel food going on down. I don't know if I'm saying this clearly, but I said, wow, that's really, yeah.
I would say, sis, it's even deeper. The delusion was even deeper than that, because I never even thought that the Mashiach was white. I always knew that was a fake image. However, I was still convinced to a degree that those were the people. And because I had a desire to be obedient unto the Most High, and I wanted the blessings that followed, you tell me, just as he did, when did you do this to my brother? My brother, when I was in prison, when did you come see me? When did you come? You tell me that, I'm like, shoot, we got to bless these people. But how absurd is it that we are the very people that scripture is talking about? We were sitting in those churches giving it to another people. The delusion is maddening. I never really thought Jesus was white. But somehow there was, I was not reconciling that those, if he's not white and he's a different people, that his people will likely be like him too. And those are not them. It just because of the teaching, the instruction, and you just accept it that those are the people. The delusion, the most, it was real. It was very real.
We don't even have to think that the people are white. All we have to think is the people aren't us. They don't have to be white, but they can't be us. I hear that all the time. Oh, he's Middle Eastern. Oh, he's brown, but he's not black. That's the one thing that's almost universally, I will hear people say, oh, I just was listening to someone yesterday. He's going through all of this history and all, and he says, and they have all this range of colors. He puts up a range of colors, and he says it could fall anywhere in here. But the one thing that he said unequivocally was that they are not black. Okay, wait a minute now. Everything is up for debate. Everything up is a possibility, but that is just an absolute impossibility. Impossible. And that is at the foundation of the teaching that has gone forth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like she said, the deception is deep. The rabbit hole runs deep. It can be anybody but us. It can't be. That's why tell you all the time that these can't be the Gentiles that they're talking about because they refuse to accept the fact that he is a Negro. They will not accept that. That is not going to be accepted. They will not. I told you, one of the bosses that where I worked at, he blurted it out. He was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to believe in Jesus because this is a chance that he might be a Negro. He said, and I ain't going to be able to do that. He said that out of my mouth. I said, wow, but guess what? We loved him when we thought he was white. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. They will not accept it.
One reason is because if it's true, let's just say somebody says it's true, to accept it as a truth would mean that all of the things that have been done to that people, us, there's a reckoning. Just as we say these people have to be supported, and when you did it unto the least of these, my brother, you did it unto me. How many people have been shot in the street, incarcerated, just lynched, you know, all of this stuff, everything that you did, and you think you're going to heaven. You think you're going to get to that first level. You think that the blood is going to cover this when the blood that's supposed to cover is the very blood that you're rejecting and the blood that you say, I will not accept. People cannot. This is a problem. This is a fundamental problem. And so everybody, like I said, to a man, I don't think I've heard one person really who's trying to explain what the Messiah might, who he might be or what he might, you know, even if he, you know, whatever, he can be anything but, because if that is the case, all of those scriptures that are set forth when he says, when you did this, when you did that, when you did this, when you failed to do this, when you failed to do that, you did it unto me. Mm-hmm. I came for these people. I didn't come for you, but you can come along with these people. But you did it unto them. There's a price to be paid. I paid in blood for these people. You have nothing to compare. You have to come through me. And if you can't come through me, you are not coming. This is a problem.
And guess what? And let's take it a step further. If you just read, you ain't even got to be awake to just read to be able to say, wow, the ancient Egyptians are black people. You can't get past that. All the hieroglyphics, everything you can read about, they were black people. Moshe went into Pharaoh's house and passed as his grandson. No white boy would be able to do that. So when you're talking about 12 tribes, let's just break down some of the tribes. That's the tribe of Levi. So we know Levi was black. We know Aaron, his brother, was black. All that's the Levi tribe. Black people. Joseph went down into Egypt and became the vice governor of Egypt. He black. That's another tribe of the. That's two tribes. Then we go a little bit further, and we can go into the New Testament. Paul. Paul was mistaken as an Egyptian. Paul told you he was from the tribe of Benjamin. That's three tribes. And then it says further, it is evident that our Lord sprang from the tribe of Judah. That's four tribes out of 12 that these people are black. Nobody won't believe that. Just read. All you got to do is read it. And just it's as simple as A, B, C. Esther went, she was the queen of Iran, Persia. She from the tribe of Benjamin. She black. If Paul was mistaken as an Ethiopian, then Esther was black too. All you got to do is read it. It's just right there. It's common sense. But like you said, nobody wants you. Everybody has been given an image. And if you pull it, everybody take the time and pull up YouTube and go on YouTube and pull up the story, the movie of King David, he's white. The movie of Jeremiah, he's white. The movie about Paul, he's white. The movie about Moshe, Moses, they white. So when you can visually see all of this deception, you don't bother to change it. It's not being, they just got a new movie out with, what's his name? the one who had all the strength in his hair, Samson. Samson was from the tribe of Dan. They got him white. I mean, all of this stuff. Daniel and them, white. The three Hebrew boys, white. It's all over the TV. So when you're inundated with white supremacy, because that's what it is. When it's everywhere in the religious systems, everybody's white, you don't take the time to say, well, maybe something. Let me read it and see. You just don't. Because all they know, just like we did, was that Jesus was blonde-haired and blue-eyed. That's what we knew. But then you go to Revelation chapter 1, and he describes to you what color he is. They said his legs and feet were as the color of brass, as if they had been burned in a fire. When you take brass and you burn it in a fire, it turns black.
Yes, it does.
So, I mean, you know, it's just a matter of reading and trying to figure out, okay, where does this all fit, and why is this not making sense? It is because people don't want to accept it. Because if they accept that, like she said, they have to accept, wait a minute. If that's the case, then it is a strong possibility that these people are who they say they are, because they are still scattered all over the world, and we have been doing these people this way, and boy, are we going to have to pay for that.
That's right. And here, it's not insidious. It's just people have been very deliberate in what they've done. The United States classifies Egyptians as white.
Yeah.
It's that simple. So the thing is that we can say, look in the Bible, but you have this government who says they're white. And then I'll listen to people say, oh, the mummies, we found mummies that have red hair. And I said, and Malcolm X had red hair. My father had red hair. What? So that's not the thing. We come in a variety. We've given rise to all kinds of people because that's who we are. We're the originators. And so you look at that, and then you have people that just, you know, that Psalms 38 thing when it says they will take crafty counsel to hide our identity. I was listening to someone last night. His name is Dante, and he said something that was really interesting. One of the things that he was doing was he was going through the history of how people knew who we were. There are maps that show clearly the land of Judah, Negro land, documents that clearly document that we had Negro Jews, that we had people who were in Portugal, then went to Spain, who went to Rwanda. All of this historically done. And then you had the people who came to pick us up who said, we know who these people are. If we don't strip them of their identity, if we don't divorce them from a knowledge of who they are, if we don't take their name away from them, they will know who we are, and these prophecies will be fulfilled. The very thing that they said, that the Bible said was going to happen to us, they said that had to happen, because if they didn't do that, then we wouldn't know who we were. They wouldn't be able to enslave us. And the prophecies would fulfill themselves. We would quickly come to a knowledge of who we are. So families are split up, names are taken away, you know, all kind, and anything that could be taken from us was taken from us. We're giving a new identity, given a new way of worshiping a God that's not ours, because the God that they gave us is not the God of the Bible. He is constant. He has never changed. No matter what, he has remained constant. But what they gave us was, I was going to say, bastardized version. And that's true. I mean, that's the absolute truth, actually. But so when that happened, it was very, very deliberate. Documents, historical documents written by Europeans, as he said, that they weren't trying to impress a non-European audience. They were writing for themselves, to themselves, saying these are the things that we need to do. We know who these people are. We know what we must do. So it's historically documented, but now we have CRT, we have critical race theory. They don't want anything said, nothing. Nothing said, because they don't want anybody looking at the documents. They don't want anybody looking at the evidence. But there are people who are coming forward and saying a lot of things. I was listening to another woman who's a psychologist. She was talking about how the media is used to just cripple us and to give us these images. We think, oh, this is something I can see. Jesus is not white. I don't believe that.
every image, every presentation, every articulation is telling you, this is true, this is true, this is true, this is true. Studies have shown that you can be in a situation where everybody is lying and you know the truth, but when it finally gets to you, you'll start thinking, I must be wrong. All of these people have said that. They must be telling the truth. I must be wrong somehow when you started out knowing that what you knew was true. But by them constantly saying something that's a lie, it makes you question your own truth. This has been, as the sister said, it's deep. This has been very deliberate.
Very believe. Hold on. Let me get the mic open. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can go back to Jacob. He's four wives. That's summing the whole thing up right there. They killed the tribe, because you know Jacob was a Negro, and his four wives were Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
I had one more thing too. So before you go back to Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Japheth is European. Japheth is European. Isaiah is black. Okay.
That's true. Now let me show you what I pulled up online where it says I just typed in what color were the ancient Egyptians. It says, when it first came up, it has pictures of Caucasian people. It says, from Egyptian art, we know that people are depicted with reddish, olive, or yellow skin tone. The Sphinx has been described as having Nubian or sub-Saharan features. And from literature, Greek writers like Herodotus and Aristotle referred to the Egyptians as having dark skin. They were dark-skinned people. And they said Hollywood likes to pretend that the ancient Egypt was full of white people. They do.
Yaina?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that if you look at it, it's on every level of abuse. It's psychological, mental, spiritual, physical. On every level, they have, just ran us through the floor. I mean, one reason why I believe they were able to do this is because they put our self-esteem, they did things to make our self-esteem so low until it's unfathomable even to us that we are the people. It's been on every level. It's just mind-boggling that we're still among the land of the living, the way we have been treated, the way we've been spoken to, the way it, not just from them. They put other people up against us, even our children up against us, to ponder at our self-esteem. That's how bad. It's just been a train wreck.
It is. It has. And you know, I'm trying to find that scripture where the Most High said, when they ask you who did this, tell them that I put you here. I did this to you. And this was a part of us being punished. But the 400-year punishment is over. But we still are here knowing this stuff and watching the completion of it all and watching the other people still live under the delusion and the deception because they do believe this. And guess what? And if they do come into the knowledge of the truth, they won't do it. My boss was like, I ain't going to be able to do that. It's a possibility that he could be a Negro, and I ain't going to be able to do that one. I just ain't going to be able to do that. So, I mean, it's just real. But like she said, if they admit that, then they have to admit the rest of it. They have to admit the rest of it. They have to admit the things that were done.
I think it's crazy that he would say that to you.
He didn't say it to me. He was making a blanket statement, and I heard him.
Oh, okay. All righty.
He didn't, but he said it loud enough so I could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was talking to one of the other managers, but he said it loud enough where I could hear it. He was sitting at his desk, too. He said, I ain't going to be able to do that. And it's like, wow. And I wonder how many other people would feel like that in these churches, in these mega churches, in these multicultural churches. Would you be willing to accept that he's a Negro? I wonder how many of them would clear out and wouldn't come back no more.
I think what the Most High has done is brilliant, because we are supposed to, it's all about, he says he's love, right? He wanted us to be an example of who he is. And yet, if a person says, I cannot do that, that's, I cannot love that person, then you know what? It's conditional for you. He says, I came to, and I chose the people to be an example for everyone. And if you cannot accept my people, then you can't accept me. But he made it so that if you are going to really put down everything and be and be untainted, just be really clear, transparent. I can't even think of the word, but untainted is the only word I can come up with. Then you're going to have to accept his people. And he said, love them, love me. Don't love them, you don't love me. And he's not going to accept anything less.
That's true.
I think it's really interesting.
And, it is,
and,
like I said.
And because he let everybody not lie, he says, we've been so abased to a certain extent. Really, we have been with all of the things that have happened. He allowed that to happen to us, but he also made that the standard by which people are going. They're going to have to come down and really accept us, and if they don't, they're not going. They're just going to be excluded.
Yeah. I agree. Nicole, mic is open. You're on the air. 504. 957. Area code 504. Your mic is open. I don't know if they pushed it by accident. Your phone might be on mute. We can't hear you. Anybody else who want to push one to make a comment? The time to do that.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, someone just spoke, and they were mentioning that what would they do if they knew Jesus was black? And for many years, that thought has crossed my mind as I've seen these people interact with other people. And I wonder, they all talk about heaven. Are you going to run out of heaven if you find out he's black? Where are you going to run to?
Right. Yeah.
That's a question I've asked myself for many years.
Yeah.
I've been reading the Bible, and I read different things, and I listen to different input. And what I've learned is that they could take the Bible and take it into any direction that they want, especially when you don't know it.
That's true.
When you don't know what's in your Bible.
That's true.
And over the last couple of years, that's what I've been trying to do. Know what's in the Bible. Know how to divide what is for us and what is not.
Very well. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank
you. No problem. Very welcome. Yeah, so anybody else want to push one? Now is the time. You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the reality of it all. These are the people that we deal with, black and white. It's not just white people. It's black people and white people and people all over the world, Indian people and Mexican people and Chinese people, and everybody that is a Christian believes in that white Jesus with that blue eyes and blonde hair. They believe that. They believe in that heaven concept. They believe that. So, you know, like the lady said, you have to get in that. We have to read that Bible, and we have to understand who our Elohim is, you know, and what he is. And that's going to be some serious changing around for a lot of people. It's going to be painful for a lot of people. You know, and You just wonder if the sincerity is the same, you know, if you knew that, if you knew what it was really going on, would you be as sincere as you are now, you know, and you have to really ask yourself that question, you know. But again, we've come to the end of our show. I think this was a very good show. Again, we've come through with some very good conversation, some things that make you think, you know, and really understand the clarity of it all. I hope we've clarified what the rapture is and the second coming and all that, what everybody's waiting on. And it'll give you another perspective on how to be patient with your family, the ones that are still in it, because they can't see it. And you won't be so frustrated. You just have to let Yah be Yah, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do for the whole world, because eventually he's going to. That's why he said, then the heathen and the Gentile will know that I have loved you and that you're my people. It's going to be a point when it's going to become painfully apparent that when nothing happens, you're going to have to investigate this stuff to see, wait a minute, something ain't right. This should have been happened already by now. And then when it doesn't, then you'll be able to have some reference points to start all over again from. So on that note, I wanted to say to everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We have a women's call every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the number for that is 712-770-4066. 712-770-4066, and the access code is 154102#, 154102#. The men's call is every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m., and it's 720-820-1215, 720-820-1215. Please feel free to join us during the week for our weekly Sabbath on Saturday. We look forward to everyone. Everyone have a wonderful rest of your evening, and shalom, shalom to everybody. Good night, everybody.